Hey, welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you so much for choosing to be here today. Whether you're on live right now on Zoom, you're listening to the recording on the podcast platforms, you're watching the recording on my YouTube channel, whatever you're doing. Thank you for being here. It is Friday, and we play America's favorite game show every single Friday. It's called Next Question. Now, here's how it works. I say next question, and you get to ask a business building or growth related or development question of some kind, not a broker question, and not what is your favorite color of sock. Like, I want to know some sort of business development, personal growth, well-being type question. And then we take the top three answers off of the board. Now, it's really important that you pay attention that we go question, answer, 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 question, answer, 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 in that order. Now, technically, it has been one consecutive Friday. That we have played this game correctly, although realistically it's zero consecutive Fridays, but we let it slip through. So we're going to say it's been one consecutive Friday. Can you have Sasha one consecutive Friday? Is that a thing, Sasha? So you can't have one consecutive? Okay, all right. She lived in England, so she understands the language better, so I was just checking. One consecutive Friday that we have done this game correctly. Let's see if we can keep it rolling. Kelly, next question.
Good morning. My question for the day is whether we should use NordVPN for our ticket purchases in England.
You are, first of all, doing it in a really fascinating English accent for a woman who lives in Tallahassee, Florida. And then she wants to know, does she need to use a VPN? I mean, why are we just not going to Delta.com buying a ticket?
Because when I used NordVPN last night, I was able to find cheaper flights by about
Well,
£100.
how about that? That's very exciting. Who uses this stuff? Does anybody have a thought? I don't know. We don't have a hand coming up, Kelly, so I don't. I think we've played stump the community. We've
No,
played.
someone told me a name
Oh,
of a
Julia
VPN. That's
Stodd's got an
three
answer.
people.
Julia.
Thank you, Julia.
Hi guys, good morning. I usually use NordVPN to book my flight to Brazil because it's cheaper to book it if I am in Brazil. I don't know why. They charge more for Americans to go to Brazil, so I definitely recommend a NordVPN. I use SharkVPN sometimes because they have like a free month. So if you just keep trying new VPNs, you get it for free every month. You just cancel it. You don't have to pay for it. So I definitely recommend it.
We have opened up a can. People don't know what's going on. Y'all need to put it in the chat. Dean Moss, there is no way you're using a VPN on your internets.
I am using a VPN. I don't use it as much anymore, but this way I was able to watch home Cub games using a VPN because you disguise your location. Now, I don't know if that's going to work for
You're
tickets.
stealing baseball videos.
Shh. Don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know.
It'll
But
be
that's
our
what I use.
secret.
And I did, yeah, absolutely. And I did use NordVPN because it was very inexpensive and easy to use. I haven't thought about it for London tickets, but maybe I should. So thanks
Maybe
for
you
letting me
should because you're going
contribute.
to London
There we
now.
go. There we
Very,
go.
very exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dean, they're saying that you're still one of the final dial-up AOL users. There's 180,000 of them left in the country, and AOL's shutting it down. So we're worried about how you're
Damn.
going to get on the internet.
What am I going to do, man? I
I
don't know.
know.
I have to figure it out.
Michelle, I do feel like you have an answer for this. Good morning, Michelle.
Yes, good morning, darling. Actually, I definitely do believe that you should have a VPN because when I'm in South Africa, I have to have a VPN. Especially for the MLS, because it will not allow you to get on. So, highly recommend it. Thank you.
There
Bye.
you go. I've never used one in my entire life. I just pay whatever little price pops up on Delta.com. That's just what I pay. It seems like a lot of work to save $100, but go get after it. I don't answer the questions, Kelly. Kelly, fun question. Get your ticket booked. It's a little tougher for you because you got to come from Tallahassee, so it's a little bit tougher for you.
No such thing as a cheap flight out of
That's
Tallahassee.
true. It's a true story. You know, those of you who are going to London for Elevate, Elevate is our annual in-person like mega event. Our signature event, if you're going, now is a good time to buy the tickets. Like you can get your round trip ticket depending on where you are, but I've seen them as anywhere from five, six, $700 round trip to London. That's a good deal. So if you're going, get that ticket purchased. Next question, Alice and Brent.
All right, you have a listing signed for a certain amount of money. Everything's ready to go. You've taken all of your photos. We're ready to go online. And the seller goes, "You know what? I've been thinking I want to up my price 20,000."
There we go. The seller comes back after you've agreed to everything and said, "Hold up, wait a minute, something ain't right. And we have got to charge more." What happens? Who's this happened to? And how do you walk a seller through this? Somebody just raised their little hand and tell me, you have a seller who says, okay, I know, but Terry, what do you tell them?
Use all the phrases we have learned here and tell them that the buyers are the ones who are holding the reins more and more throughout the country. And do you want to sit on the market and possibly chase the market, which is a big negative for you? Or do you want the market to push your price up? Up to you.
Terry, thank you so much. Tammy Fox, good morning in the Carolinas.
Hello there, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
When I have a seller who wants to be ridiculous like that, I get the CMA out that we reviewed and I show them their competition. And we talk about their features. We talk about their pricing. We talk about their location and condition. And I remind them of their goal, because in the end, they're selling for a reason. And sometimes you've got to drag them back to that big why, to get them to realize if they delay by increasing the price, they're not going to make the goal.
Orly, good morning. Thank you, Tammy. Orly.
Good morning. Alice, I'm just curious, what's happened in the last 2-3 weeks to the market that I'm not aware of, where prices have gone up? Because the way I see it, prices are actually leveling off. So I'm just curious, what's happening? Because when I launch you, you're the new kid on the block and all eyes are going to be upon you. And that's our window of opportunity. And if we miss that window of opportunity, your competition is going to eat you up and you're going to be left by the wayside. I don't think that's what you want, is it?
That's a true story. Brett and Alice, I don't answer the questions, but if I did answer the question, I would tell you to kick them. Just kick them in the shin. I have found that in times like this, assault is sometimes your best option. So that's what I would recommend. Go ahead, Brent.
Best answer ever, I thought.
Okay, don't, for those of you listening at home, I'm not actually suggesting that you go and assault someone when you're not getting your way. Someone's going to do that, and then I'm going to get a letter, and I don't need that. No more anonymous letters, please. And then we found out yesterday, people are listening to this thing in Singapore, Indonesia, Brazil, which we think is Julia's mom, Spain, Portugal, the UK, France, the Netherlands. What were some of the other countries, Julia? I mean, they're listening from all over the world. Next question.
Okay, so this is kind of a weird one, but I have my pumpkin patch event coming up in October. And so last year would have been my third annual of doing it, but my mom got sick, and so I had to cancel it and go be with her. So I'm re-coming back to it. Is it my fourth annual or my third annual, or am I starting over?
I love it. All right. Rapid fire on this. Is it her third annual or fourth annual pumpkin
Please.
Event? Although she canceled the third annual, but it is the fourth year, but is it the third annual? Jolie, go.
Third annual inaugural, back and better than ever.
Third annual inaugural. Anybody else? The chat is saying it's third annual. Yeah. Authorine, is it the third annual?
Girl, you're starting over.
It's
no,
the
it's
first.
Third. It's your third annual.
It's the third. Okay.
Yeah.
Come and join us for another great time, is how
there
I
There you go.
Do
Just
it.
Drop the annual.
Yes, drop the annual. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the high quality content masterminding you come here for. This is why all of you get up. Some of you got up at 4:30 in the morning to help Terry decide, is it the third annual or fourth annual pumpkin event?
And, but look how confusing it is.
It is. I hear you. I'm more confused. In fact, I can't even now remember how many consecutive Fridays it's been that we have played this game correctly. Terry, you're the best. That's a lot of fun. This is a great group. Lainey Lane, next question.
Good morning. So I'm working with my brother and sister-in-law to purchase a house here, and they don't live here. However, they're trusting my brother's best friend who got his license on Google and has no clue for answers. How do I go back to them and say, you guys, like, he has no clue of what he's talking about?
Lainey, I have a question. You said, I'm sorry, the people purchasing the house are your brother and sister-in-law?
Oh, correct.
Okay, all right. And the person that's helping them is whose brother?
My brother's best friend.
Your brother's Biffle, and he is a licensed real estate practitioner?
On Google.
What do you mean on Google? What does that mean?
He got his license on Google. It's a joke. He has no idea.
He's not
my brother's best friend is a professional surfer and knows about surfboard wax.
He's a surfboard waxing expert. All right, got it. Jenny Linich, good morning.
Hey, Lainey. My brother's an airline pilot. He's trying to tell me, no one's going to tell me that I have to paint my house or change my carpet, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at him. I said, Scott, do I tell you how to fly the plane? No. Do I tell you how to fly the plane? No. Well, then don't tell me how to do my job.
Well, there you go. Don't mess with Jenny Linich, y'all.
Jesus.
Do not mess
look
with
him
Jenny
in the eye. Do I tell you? Nope. Just look
do
him in the
not
eye.
Mess with Jenny Linich. John Trample.
Good morning, James. Hey, I will just tell your brother, you can be honest with your brother. You should be able to be. Just be brutally honest and tell him that he's an idiot. But in your brother's defense, his friend probably has blackmail material on him.
Oh, no.
So maybe that's why he chose him.
This has gotten out of hand. Julie, save us, Julie Hess.
Well, okay. I have two brothers and raised three boys. So my first reaction would be to my brother, knock it the hell off. And then the second thing was, do you trust me?
Yeah,
you trust me because of everything I know. And you will have people that are going to chirp in your ears. And yet, at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to end up with the house. Out of curiosity, how would it feel if you end up with a house that your friend likes more than you do? So, yeah, trust me and let me help you find the right house.
There you go,
okay,
Julie.
Thank you.
I'm asking, are you buying a house or a surfboard? Are you buying a house or a surfboard? I don't answer the questions, but I'm going to say, are you buying a house or a surfboard? And, what is it about the friend that you want his advice on? But listen, homie, I'm your sister. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Lainey Lane, thank you. Next question, Randy.
Hey, thanks so much for choosing me, James. I am new to the call and new to the group, so I'm excited to
We're glad you're here. Where are you from, Randy?
Atlanta, Georgia. And I've been in the business over 20 years, and I'm going back to basics. I've started my DTD2, and I've been making my calls. But my question is, I'm probably getting 1 out of 20 people that actually answer the call. I'm making my calls, I'm leaving my voicemails, but how do I get people to answer the phone?
You're smiling and dialing on your DTD2. DTD2, for those of you curious, that's a database follow-up system that we've learned from Steve Schleter and Tammy Yunks that's about 2 letters by last name every week. In fact, it's at SNU this week because one person reached out to me in the entire community, one person reached out. So Randy wants to know, I find this to be an interesting question, Randy. How do you get people to pick up the phone? I don't know that you do. How would you get someone? You wouldn't get them to pick up the phone, but I'm curious what the answers are. Nicole.
Hi, you cannot get them to pick up the phone, but you can follow up with a text. So I sometimes leave voicemails. It depends on, honestly, the age of the person, but I always follow up with a text. Be like, hey, just calling to say hi, or hey, calling to let you know about an event or whatever. So no, you can't force people to pick up the phone. I wish that was a thing, but you can follow up with a text because most people don't listen to their voicemails.
Lee Corey, good morning.
Good morning. My advice to Randy is to take, who's next after me, Anna Kruger's class, because she's going to give you patterns on the voicemails to leave so they will either A, call you back or pick up the phone the next time.
Well,
and
Kruger,
by the way,
oh yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say, if anybody comes to New York, you have to see Mamma Mia.
It's back in limited run on Broadway.
Oh, right. So awesome.
Very exciting. Anna Kruger, hello.
Hello, you guys are so kind. Yeah, so I had a question. When you're calling and leaving the voicemails, how far in between each call, what's the time space between the calls?
Randy?
Well, I'm just starting my DTD2, so I've called them. I've been calling people probably 30 days, maybe recently, but before that, hardly ever.
Okay.
I'm not a caller.
I love the honesty. So when it's Sphere, it is a little different. If you're attempting a new lead, if you call them 6 times in 6 days, 90% of them will pick up or call you back. in most, they studied this, and most people stop after one call. So just calling six times in 6 days puts you in the above 95% of people. Even if you don't know what to say, that puts you at a higher chance of reaching people. And then with Sphere or newer leads, one of the best tactics is after you call, just send a text that says, I just left you a voicemail. And it will motivate them to listen to the voicemail you left versus keeping that conversation just in text. And voice to voice is the better conversation. But the biggest thing is six calls in 6 days leave five voicemails, and 90% of people will call you back.
There you go.
Thank you.
And it's good stuff. I would take Anna Kruger's course, y'all, if you're not in it. It's ongoing, 18 on-demand sessions, and then you can catch up on the two that she's already covered and then get into the live stuff. Randy, if you're not in that, I would recommend it. NoScriptSalesMethod.com. NoScriptSalesMethod.com. And what she's doing with it is, you know, we're not scripts, you know, we're not just following scripts word for word. We're getting into a flow. We're creating conversations. We're understanding how to communicate with people. It's good stuff. Randy, I will remind you too, I don't answer the questions, but when I do, I would like to remind people that when Steve created the program, it was something similar to what Anna Kruger just said. It's not just one random call that week and then you move on. Remember, on Monday, it's call and leave a voicemail. And the voicemail, according to Steve's voicemail, is one that doesn't give them pressure to call you back, but they may call you back. And you can decide, and Anna's got a ton of voicemail options in her course that would work for you. But remember, day one is call and leave a voicemail. And if they don't call you back, you call again on day two. And you do not leave a voicemail that time. Now, Anna's saying leave a voicemail. Doesn't matter to me. But you call back, and then you call the third day. And it's just to get into a flow. And here's the thing that I love about phones in today's world. If they don't want to talk to you, they won't answer. And if they want to reach back out to you, they will answer. But it is about getting into a flow. And if we cannot get into a flow with people, then we cannot earn their opportunity. See, 95% of the people in our database have no need for us at all this year. None. They don't need us. And so what we're hoping is that we magically call the 5% of the people who do need us on the day they happen to need us, and they pick up the phone and like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you called, Randy. I've been looking for your number. We need to sell our house. But that's not how this business works. This business works by staying in relationship with the 95% so that when they move from the 95%, I don't need you, to the 5%, I do need you, you're the one they call, Randy. And you can earn, you can get into a flow with them without ever talking to them. See, we have to remember that just because we don't hear them doesn't mean they don't hear us. So if you are in a flow where she's saying six times in a row, and then you 4 weeks later, six times in a row, and four, or not 4 weeks, I'm sorry, 3 months later, six times in a row, and then 3 months later, six times in a row, and then 3 months later, six times in a row, and you do that for 4 years and you've never talked to them, but one day your phone rings. Randy, what's up? We need to sell. We have got to get to the point where we care more about the people who live inside of our house than the people who live outside of it. And what I mean by that is if you care about the people who live inside of your house, then you are going to get into a flow with your database without worry that, is this person going to get annoyed if I call them three times? Are they going to get annoyed if I call them four times or five times? When are they going to get annoyed? Who cares? You know what? I have a mortgage to pay. And I got a kid in dance at $700 a month. And I got five employees who have health insurance and have their own kids that have things to do. So if I annoy this one person in my database because I called them too many times, that is cool with me, bruh. Because I care more about the people who live inside of my house than live outside of it. But here's what I know. If I get into a flow with the people who live outside of my house, then I can support the people who live inside of it. That's all. Did we wrap that up quick or what? I'm not supposed to answer the questions. Ian, are you on? Do you have a question?
I don't have a good one today, man. Anybody else got any ideas?
Okay, then we're done. That wraps up next question. It's now been two consecutive Fridays. We have played it well, and we got a little wound up and a little preachy today, but that happens from time to time. Good morning. It is 8 o'clock Eastern. It's good to see you. It's your friend, James Shaw, and thank you so much for choosing to wake up and be part of Pivot Shift Ahead this morning. We're having a great day. We just did next question. If you missed it, it was one of the best in history. We found out whether or not it should be the third annual pumpkin patch or the fourth annual pumpkin patch. I mean, it is high quality conversations like that we have here in Pivot Shift Ahead. If you missed it, go to the podcast platform and search in Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. You can listen to the whole thing. We are wrapping up a three-part series we have done this week on buyers gaining leverage in today's market, and what does that mean? Wednesday, we did setting expectations with buyers in a market where they have leverage so that they understand what that means, that it's not they can get everything they want for nothing, right? We've got to set expectations for what it means to a buyer to have leverage in today's market. That was Wednesday. Yesterday, we did seller pricing strategy in a market where buyers have leverage, and we reminded you that sellers still have control even when buyers have leverage, and we talked about that. And then today, we're going to talk about your lead gen play. What does your lead gen play look like in a market where buyers have leverage? But before we do that, something good. Carolyn Ricketts, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell everyone today's a great day at Choice Home Warranty. We are having a masterclass on the EPA mandate that went into effect on January 1st. And if all of you are already asleep, I promise you, It is. It's not an exciting topic, but it's a topic that's going to impact your world because the cost of repairing and replacing HVAC systems has gone up to 30%. It's going to impact any house with an air conditioner. If you'd like to join us, it's free. It's 1 hour on Zoom at noon Eastern today, and I will put the link in the chat, and we'd love to have you join us.
We love having you part of this community and supporting people. Carolyn Ricketts, thank you so much. Sasha, good morning.
Morning. So I just want to say hi and introduce everyone to my cousin, Kim. She is an agent here in London, and she's been an agent for over 20 years, but she just recently, so over here, properties are sold a lot differently than they are in the States. So she just recently hit her 1 year mark of being independent, and she walked in to come visit me at the right time while the call was going on. So she's now going to get the link and join the calls on a daily basis so that she can get some help from everyone on how to properly run her independent real estate business.
We're so proud of you. It's a lunchtime call for you. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon for you, so you can hop on. And then Sasha, we got to get her on the wait list for Elevate so she can come and hang out with us.
Right. Well, you'll meet her anyway. She'll be coming over, but yeah.
I love that. I love it. Well, have fun, and thank you so much for being here. We got time for one more. We're going Tim Johnson this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So just wanted something good for me was Jenny and I celebrated our 25th anniversary this week.
That is awesome. What is the secret?
As much as possible, you got to chase each other around the house naked. That's all you get.
You know, I think it's good advice, and yeah. I would write that down.
100%.
That is the high quality stuff you're here for this morning. Chase each other around the house naked. That sounds great. Tim Johnson, thank you, friend. Matt Cannon, update us on the pool. I squeaked it in yesterday because I picked the Eagles to beat the Cowboys last night, and that got a little crazy. But Matt Cannon, update them on the Survivor pool and how they can support KW Cares and KW Next Gen.
Sorry, I'm processing Tim Johnson's last remark. We're doing good on the pool. The pool is live, but it's not too late. We did actually have a few people move on to week two already because I don't know what got them to do that, but they picked the Eagles last night over the Cowboys. So we got three people who have already moved on to week two, including you, James. So James is already on to week two. Yes, Kathleen, you can still join the pool. Hey, so look, you still have time. We got a lot of people already in. You have up until Sunday to make your first pick. So here's what you do. Donate your $50, KW Cares, KW Next Gen, send in the receipt, and come on in. The water's warm. It's super easy. You make one pick a week. And I know you're probably going to be Ian for sure. And James, we are international, by the way. Barb Whitney in Canada has joined. So we are now international.
That's
there
rude.
You go. I love that. That is awesome stuff. Matt Cannon, thank you so much. All right, let's get after it. So we have been focused on this shift towards buyers having leverage. And we're talking about this because Resi Club did a survey of real estate agents across the country. And in every region of the country, agents felt that buyers were the ones gaining leverage in this market. So the question is, what does it mean for you? And I think about from a lead generation standpoint, what does it mean? Because when opportunity is changing, it doesn't mean it goes away, but it just does mean that your path to it might look a little bit different. And are we doing the right things? Well, we say something in here all the time, learn the plays, run the plays. And this really is about us learning the right plays and then making a decision to run them. And those of you that show up day after day after day after day in your lead gen space are going to be the ones who win. And those of you who skip some days are going to struggle. See, when the market is hot and everything is selling, you do not have to be consistent in your lead gen. An inconsistent approach will get you enough leads probably to hit your goals. But when the market moves to where buyers have leverage, an inconsistent approach can put you out of business. Page 81 of Shift talks a little bit about it. Gary, Jay, and Dave say the tendency for most agents in a shifting market is to cocoon, to just wander around the office or stay at home and wait for things to change. But obviously, this is a mistake. When the market changes, you don't slow down, you ramp it up. Now listen, he said you don't slow down, you ramp it up. One option wasn't you just do the same, right? There's no neutral. So you have to make a decision to ramp it up. He says a shift requires you to do very specific things every day if you want to succeed. Well, that means you need to know what those very specific things are. You can't be a wake up and wonder agent. Who should I call today? What should we talk about? What's my lead gen strategy going to be? We've got to have very specific things every day if we want to succeed. You cannot succeed sitting on the sidelines. Every day you must get in the game and make plays. It is crunch time for lead generation. Here's some things I wrote down that I just want to go through real quick. Number one, I'm going to give you four things to think about. Number one, consistency wins. How often have we talked about that? Consistency wins. That's what Gary just says right here. We got to make the decision to show up every day. And those who show up every day and run their plays are the ones who are going to build their opportunity and deepen their pipelines in this market. Consistency wins. Lead gen is no longer optional like it was when the market is hot. It's the foundation for you finding motivated buyers and sellers in this market. So number one, consistency wins. Number two, keep conversations in play. See, most agents stop too soon because they think the transaction is so far down the line, they don't want to bother them. That's something we talked about on the pre-show this morning. But the truth is, a majority of people you come across do not have a real estate need today. But if you can keep the conversation alive, you increase the opportunity to work with them when they're ready. So you have to keep the conversation alive. Don't close the book on them, but ask yourself on every conversation you have with someone, just ask yourself this question. What is the next step that keeps this conversation moving? That's number two, keep conversations in play. Number three, opportunity comes from follow-up. In other words, don't let conversations end without a plan, a here's what's going to happen next. Hey, you know what? I'll check in with you when a listing like that hits the market. You know what? I'm sorry you can't make me can't come to our event this quarter, but I'll be sure to invite you to the next one. You know, let's touch base again in 30 days and see if anything's changed with your timeline. You know, the last time we spoke, you told me your plan was to do blank. Is that still your plan? But we've got to stay in front of them, and that opportunity comes from following up. And then number four, you got to put focused effort into finding motivated people. What does that mean? I don't know. You have to decide. Is it for sale owners and expireds and withdrawals? Is it doing an open house, three open houses a week, four open houses a week, two open houses a week? Is it figuring out how can you get in front of the most popular group of sellers right now, which is boomers, maybe people who are looking to downsize or something like that? We've got to find a way to stay in front of the motivated. So when you think about lead gen at a time like this, these are the four things. Number one, consistency wins. Number two, keep conversations in play. Number three, opportunity comes from follow-up. And number four, you got to go find the motivated. Let's hear from some of you. Masha, we'll start with you since we haven't heard from you this week. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. You know, I feel like you've been listening in on my coaching calls because I was just talking about this yesterday with my coach. And we started off this process by looking at my pipeline and seeing who's in my pipeline and how far out they are. So we are going to develop a strategy for reaching back out to those folks that are over 3 months out to see how they're doing, checking in with them to see what they need, just like you said. And also, I love the idea of asking them, if this is not where you are right now, is it all right with you if I check in 2 weeks? Maybe you'll find somebody that I can help now. Just keep that conversation going. Thank you so much.
Stay in flow with them. Last time we talked, you told me your plan was to do blank. Is that still your plan? Staying in a flow. Kim LaPlante, good morning.
Good morning. So all of what you said, consistency wins, staying with that, with my quarterly calls and even doubling down on my sphere of influence this year. I have finally systematically initiated the home equity reports, hopefully again to find the motivated. I've doubled down on my sphere. I've sent them all a taco notepad, which tacos are kind of my thing, and two business cards and said, hey, when you come across somebody, stick this in your pocket or your wallet or your purse and, you know, let them know that you've got a great agent. Working on skills, so important. You had mentioned earlier in the week, go back through your database, your sphere, see, you know, who are all the people who've ever mentioned doing something. And so I'm working on that list. I've joined KW Planner to, you know, help with this largest group, the baby boomers who hold the wealth in our country right now, and hopefully finding the motivated in them.
On purpose with purpose. That's what we talk about all the time. In a market like this, we want to be on purpose with purpose. Clarity about where the business is going to come from. Then we get very consistent in the play and we run it. That's it. Maria Sims, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. So I think, you know, you've got to understand if you're cultivating relationships with your VIP or your people in your sphere that you know are not going to make a move in the next 12 months, and then following up with the leads from, you know, incoming database or open houses. You know, the way you talk to those two different categories are completely different. And so I think setting time aside to talk to each of them each day, and you've just got to be like the postman. You've got to show up. Whether it's a bad day and you get a $350,000 low appraisal, you got to wake up the next morning and you got to drop and give me 100 calls, right? Because that is how you stay in the business. So you can't get distracted by shiny things. The only thing in this business that works is prospecting for new business every day and loving on the people who already love you.
If we just make it that simple, every day I got to prospect for new business and love on the people who love me. Inspire members. If you're a member of the Inspire Collective, our membership community, download the tracker that we learned from Brittany McAllister. It has both of those things on there. It has prospecting for new business and loving on the people that love you. It has both of those. And then just go follow that and get your 30 points. Or one day, maybe you get 20 points. The next day you get 15, but the next day you get 40. I don't care what it is, but get into a flow with prospecting for new business and loving on the people who love you. Maria Sims, I love you in the most appropriate way. Thank you so much. Jessica Starr, good morning.
Hey, good morning, friends. So speaking of consistency, I think we might have gotten out of this habit, but I know pre-2020 and the craziness of our markets, we had the consistency of setting expectations with our sellers as to when they could expect price adjustments and price improvements coming. And I think that actually is something that's really important too, because, you know, we can take all the business we want and prospect for all the business we want, but if we are not moving our inventory, it's not going to matter anyways. So unless you set those expectations and are crystal clear at those initial appointments, maybe even write them in to your listing agreements, like, hey, within 10 showings or 14 days or whatever your metric is, if we do not have an offer, we can talk about it prior to doing it, but we're going to adjust it by 5%, or we're going to, you know, whatever it may be, because you need to stay ahead of this market too. You can take all the inventory you want, but I see a lot of people sitting on houses right now because they're not willing to have those conversations. So make sure you have a system for yourself where you do a price adjustment conversation at least once a week with current active listings that you have.
What's the point of taking inventory if you're not getting paid, right? We got to get this stuff sold, help these sellers move on with their lives and their goals and dreams, and ultimately you get paid for the work that you do. Jess, thank you. Appreciate it. Kathleen Garden, good morning.
Good morning, James. You know, going off of what Jessica just said about, you know, you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to know the conversations. And we just had this conversation this morning on early birds. You've got to know what to say before you're in the situation you're in. And Phil Jones has talked a lot about that. Like, when do you know exactly what to say? Not when you're in the moment, but beforehand. You've got to do the script role play, know how to overcome the objections, be comfortable with having all these conversations. And that's why we're on Inspire, because we get the words, what to use, and then go out and practice, do the script role play. And the other thing, James, what has changed my world is being back consistently on here every day, getting off and doing the work. We got to do the work. Some days you're going to have great days and some not, but just keep going. You've got to no, you know, you're not going to always get the phone answered, right? The other thing is non-negotiable. Are your tasks and actions that you're taking every day non-negotiable? You're saying no to more things than yes, as far as how many meetings you're going to go to, how many networking, how many classes. Right now, we're at how many months left, James, of the year? Like, you don't count December, right? We only have a couple months left. So it's non-negotiable task. Use your numbers, know your numbers, non-negotiable, take the action, and then you'll get the results because I'm living proof of that.
On purpose with purpose, we talk about it. Phil says you can't write, edit, and perform at the same time, right? So you've got to be able to practice your conversations, which is why we're doing Anna Kruger's course. I mean, the whole reason why I wanted to partner with her was to help you be better when you're communicating with people because every conversation matters. It's amplified. Every conversation did not matter in 2021 and in 2022. It just didn't because there were so many people interested that the results of any one conversation weren't really that relevant. And while the result of any one conversation isn't necessarily relevant today, it matters more than it did a couple of years ago. I'm going to put the link for Anna Kruger's course in the chat. NoScriptSalesMethod.com. NoScriptSalesMethod.com to be able to learn how to get into a flow so that you're not writing, editing, and performing all at the same time. Thank you, Kathleen. I appreciate you. Dean Moss, you get the last word this morning. Good morning, buddy. We start you with a Monday. We'll end you on a Friday.
I'm so honored. Good. Thank you so much for the opportunity, James. Appreciate it. What you need to do is you need to know your numbers. And the number that's most important to know is your conversion rate. And you need to know variable conversion rates because of the different conversion rate for different types of leads. If I want to get some listing appointments fairly quickly, I'll call cold leads. So that'd be FSBOs, expireds, cancels, things like that. And then obviously I have to call my sphere, but sometimes sphere is a longer term play. You can call 50 people in your sphere, that's not sphere, sphere, and find out nobody's interested in selling in the next 30 to 60 to 90 days. And that's great because they'll do it later. Keep up with both groups and take a look at your conversion rates and plan the number of calls you're making based on the conversion rate, which also includes the answer rate, which also includes the appointment rate, which also includes the closing rate, and all the way down to how much money you make. So know your numbers. Thanks for letting me share that today.
You got it. Yeah. By the way, if you're in a spot where you're like, I need cash money records quick, then going all in on your sphere of influence is probably not the strategy. You still want to be in a flow with them, there's no doubt. But then we want to dedicate time that's going to give us cash money records quick, which is going to be for sale by owners, expireds, withdrawns, open houses, you know, calling for sale by owners, expireds, and withdrawns while you're at open houses. Like that's the kind of flow you want to be in if you need cash money records right now. But if you're good, if the pipeline's pretty good and you've got some listings, then just put, I'm telling you, put that focus on the database and whatever other strategies tend to bring you the most business. Get into a flow with that. You'll be in great shape. Hey, that's it. We're out of time. Thanks for being here this week. I appreciate you. Do me a favor, share what our conversations with people. Go in and find your favorite version of or our favorite conversation this week and share the podcast link with somebody just of one call and say, you know what? If you don't do anything this weekend but listen to this one episode of Pivot Shift Ahead, your whole world will be changed. Number two, if you did not go into Pivot this week and ask a question, if you did not go into the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group this week and ask a question, ask one before Monday. Today, tomorrow, Sunday. Go in and just ask one question that is a purposeful, business-growing, personal development question and see what kind of answers you get. Go ask that inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. If I can help you, let me know. You can find all of our interviews and everything what we do in the Inspire Collective and all that kind of stuff at jamesdshaw.com. See you on Instagram too at jamesdshaw. Have a good one, everybody. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration.